Welcome to Session This. This week's guest is skater, advocate, artist, and Anti-Gravity Press founder, Mark Conahan. Welcome to the program, Mark.
Thanks, Rich.
Tell us a little bit about Anti-Gravity Press.
Well, I've been doing publishing projects for quite a while on my own. I did a zine back in the 80s called Body Slam, and I've done a lot of cartoons over the years, skate cartoons, and I've pretty much wanted to, at one point I decided I was going to sell this stuff or try to sell this stuff. So I created this vehicle that was kind of the umbrella for all those projects.
Nice. Can you tell us a little bit about what you've been doing with Body Slam lately?
Well, I did five issues originally back in the 80s, and they were Xerox zines. I usually try to incorporate something else, some color Xerox or silkscreen covers. And other print methods. I always wanted to do another one, but you know, 15 years went by and I never did. And I've since gone into the graphic design profession and learned all about how you create publications and how you get printing done and that sort of thing. And so it seemed like the time was right. And our friend Randy Golic came up with an idea for us to do a micro zine, a single letter size sheet, folded down into a 16-page zine. And somehow that wasn't as daunting. It was really easy to create a zine that was only 16 pages long and tiny, you know, 2 by 3 inches or something. So I decided to revive Body Slam that way. And I've printed one, and I have another one in the works.
Great. And if you're interested in getting a copy of Body Slam, just visit Mark's website at antigravitypress.com. And so today, Mark, in addition to learning a little bit about you, you've brought some music for us to listen to or what you want to share with us. Can you tell us a little bit about what the first songs we're going to hear are?
Okay, we're going to start off with a funny little song by Descendants. It's called I Like Food. I like food, food is good.
Stop. How am I supposed to live when I'm living like this? punk start hassling decent people, I make it my business.
That was Black Noise by the Bangkok Five and Mr. T telling us what happens when punks start hassling decent people.
Can you tell us a little bit about your skate park advocacy efforts and being a part of SPS?
Yeah, we have been trying to get skate parks built in Portland since the 80s, and it's just been very difficult. Recently, two friends of mine, Sonny Robertson and Tom Miller, started an organization called Skaters for Portland Skate Parks. They worked very hard to try to help pass a parks levy that included some money for a couple of skate parks. Hmm. That passed, and a very small portion of that was to go to the skate park effort. But then the hassle just began. We tried to get started and ran into huge neighborhood opposition. And had to go through a long period of educating the public and parks department. And finally, October last year, we opened our first one, Pier Park, in St. John's neighborhood of Portland. And it just the ball just keeps rolling from there.
So how many parks are in the ground now?
We also, so far we've got, how many? Pier, Glen Haven, is that it? Oh, and Holly Farm. There's three done. Two more have been funded and are slated to start construction soon. That's Gabriel Park in Southwest Portland and Ed Benedict Park out in Southeast Portland.
Excellent. If you're a skater and you're in the Northwest, it's a good place to be.
Yeah, we actually came up with a plan to create a skate park network that we managed to sell City Council on and the Parks Department. And we eventually will have 19 skate parks in Portland. One giant park called the District Park. Is that right? Regional Park. Mm-hmm. Five district parks, which are kind of a medium size, like about the size we have now for Pier, between 10 and 15,000 square feet. And then a series of smaller skate neighborhood skate spots, which will be like what we have in Holly Farm. Holly Farm is actually about 2,500 square feet, very small, but you know, for a place down the street from you where you can go skate, it's great.
It is great. Okay, so what's the next song you have for us, Mark?
I first heard these guys on the soundtrack of a Tony Hawk's Pro Skater video game. It's called Mad Capsule Markets. The song is called Systematic.
Billy Club's ahead with a Billy Club. Understand it, we're fighting a war, we can't win. They hate us, we hate them, we can't win. No way. Nothing I do, nothing I say, I tell them to go get fucked. They put me away. Understand it, we fight the war, we can't win. They hate us, we hate them, we can't win. No way. I go to court, pay for my crime, stand in line, pay bail, I may serve time. Understand it, we fight the war, we can't win. They hate us, we hate them, we can't win. No way.
Wow, that sounded like a Black Flag tune.
Yeah, that was Ice-T covering the Black Flag song Police Story.
Man, Black Flag, what a great band. They had such a big impact on skateboarding. So, Mark, tell me a little bit about your skate influences.
Well, when I first started skateboarding, it was more of a surf-inspired activity. I grew up in Southern California, and about that time they started building skate parks. I skated parks, skated some pools, some bank spots, and some ramps. In 1977, I came to Portland, Oregon to go to college and met some guys up here skateboarding. Turned out one of them had a half pipe, indoor half pipe, and we spent a lot of time over the next couple of years skating that. And so that was huge, huge for me. You know, I became a ramp skater basically. Stayed up here for about 5 years and then moved to the East Coast, where I had to hook up with another crew and skated a lot more ramps out there. Mm-hmm. Moved back to Oregon after my first daughter was born, 1987. And been here ever since. Met some of my old friends again, met some new people, started skating ramps again because that's all there was for a guy who was interested in vert skating, the occasional pool. And then all of a sudden, one day, I noticed something going on under the Burnside Bridge. Somebody had concreted up onto a bank and started checking that out. It kept changing every time I was there or every time I went. And, you know, as you know, those guys went on to become Dreamland and Grindline and are responsible for the resurgence of skate parks in this country.
Yeah, and we're better for it, that's for sure. Growing up, you know, who, you know, speaking of skate parks, who, what, any people who influenced you specifically?
You know, I actually used to read Skateboarder magazine quite a lot, and so came under that Dogtown influence, the Sierra Stesic articles. But I actually did also skate with those guys on occasion. I'd run into them at a pool or a skate park. And watching Tony Alva skate a pool and back in the old days was really an amazing thing. That guy, I don't know, it's just indescribable. Like now he's, you know, almost, I think he's 60 years old now.
I think he's only 50.
Oh, he's only 50. I think he's, are you sure?
Yeah, he's only 50.
Okay, okay, I think he's like, he's 50 years old now. But, you know, so he's like old guard. But at the time, nobody skated a pool like Tony. You know, there were a lot of guys, and read that magazine religiously, mm-hmm. and probably picked up a lot of influence from a lot of those guys. But those Dogtown guys, man, they had it.
Yeah, I can relate to the Skateboarder magazine connection living in the Midwest. What is the next selection you have for us?
So this next tune is a band called Poison Idea. They're from Portland, Oregon. The song is Just a Getaway.
Got my girl, 16 inches really.
Again, and it's called 1-2-X-U.
So you're in a mag, kissing a man. 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 Yeah.
Stand Up by Minor Threat and 1-2-X-U by Wire. I thought that was interesting because Minor Threat actually covered that song at one point.
Yeah, they were such great songs to skate to as well. And speaking of skating, you have a pretty big bag of tricks, but there are a few tricks that you are your go-to tricks. Can you tell me a little bit about those go-to tricks and some of the history behind them?
Yeah, now, you know, I love doing frontside airs, and I'm can do that all day long. I know that's an old guy trick, but that's where we are. I also do an invert variation. It's called Andirect. It's a outside rail grab invert. And I actually came up with that on my own before I ever saw coverage of it, of David Andirect doing it, who's been, you know, had the trick name for him. We were learning backside airs at the time, grabbing behind the foot, and also trying to do Jay Adams inverts at the time. So,
yeah, I remember that photo of Jay Adams, and you're always thinking, man, did he actually make that? So that was kind of the images that inspired you to work on this, what is now known as the Andirect, which could be just as easily known as the Conahan, if you will. So being someone who is considered older and still skating, tell me a little bit about the challenges of skating as we grow older.
Well, I definitely don't bounce back as fast from injuries anymore, so I kind of have to be a little more careful. But I still love skateboarding, and I still love the big walls, and I love going high and fast.
I'd like to thank you, before we play this last song, for being on the show.
You're very welcome.
And tell us what this last High and Fast song is.
Man, this has got to be just everybody's favorite hardcore song. It's Pay to Come by Bad Brains.
I'll keep the fire.